Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. We are in Luke chapter 3. We said last time that Luke, in his careful historical account, sort of jumps ahead in the first part of this chapter in order to set aside the story of John the Baptist, which is vital to understanding the launch of Jesus' ministry. But he goes ahead and talks about John being locked up in prison because of his preaching against the many sins of Herod. And now, beginning in verse 21, we sort of step back a little bit in time and see, first of all, Jesus' baptism, which was performed by John. Jesus, not as much detail in this as in some of the other Gospels, but Jesus' baptism is the first part of the text that we'll read today. And then, going even further than that back into history, he gives us the genealogy of Jesus. So, beginning in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, this is the reading of God's Word. "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Matthias, the son of Simein, the son of Josech, the son of Joda, the son of Jonan, the son of Reza, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of the son of Joshua, the son of Eliezer, the son of Joram, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Mela, the son of Mena, the son of Mattah, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. That's about as much as he tells us. Now, this is in the context of having told us that John was baptizing people earlier in the chapter. And as he was baptizing people, back in chapter 3, verse 3, he went into all the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. Crowds came to be baptized by him. And when, verse 21, all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Well, this was a baptism for repentance of sins. Why would Jesus be baptized along with a bunch of sinners? Because he was identifying with us. And when his cousin John asked him, as we read in one of the other Gospels, I should be baptized by you, not you by me. Why would you do this? He says, to fulfill all righteousness. This was the plan of God. Not because Jesus needed forgiveness. Jesus never sinned. I'll say it again, because tragically, tons of young people and adults who have grown up in churches that didn't spend time teaching what Scripture says, tons of young people today believe that Jesus sinned also. And they've never understood that the Bible says he was tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. Well, does it really matter? Yes! Because if Jesus wasn't sinless, he couldn't be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The reason I can't die for you is I deserve to die. The reason you can't die for me is because you deserve to die. You can't take my place, I can't take your place, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. And so Jesus was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life so that he could be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So when Jesus was baptized, it wasn't because he was repenting or because he had sins that he had to turn from. It was because he identified with us. He came to take our place, and our sins would be put on him, not because he sinned, but because God put our guilt on Jesus. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, the priest would put their hands on the animal, symbolizing a transfer. It didn't turn the animal into a human, but it symbolized the transfer of guilt. And thank God we don't have to do that anymore, because Jesus died once and for all to take away our sin. So the Old Testament sacrificial system to us is just this vague thing. Well, yeah, I've heard about that. I don't really understand. They had to kill so many animals. You know, whose idea was that? God's. Because God wanted the people reminded of what they deserve, and that is death. Well, so it's just physical death, that's the payment for sins. Oh no, that's only the start. To be cut off from God forever, to endure his wrath. Jesus speaks about it as being a lake of fire. It is a place of eternal torment. Boy, that is something that tons of Christians, including people who call themselves evangelical, just can't accept. I just don't understand that. Well, you don't have to understand it, but you better recognize that that's what the Word teaches. Hell, is in the Bible. And you know who talked about hell more than anybody else in the Bible? Jesus. And you know why? Because Jesus loves people. And Jesus came to save us so that we not only don't have to go to hell, but so that we will be declared righteous and spend forever with him. That's love. That's how we know what love is. But there are a lot of people, sadly, who think that, no, God isn't nice enough. God isn't loving enough. I'm going to have to rewrite this. I can't accept all the things the Bible says. I want to have a different view. Even if it's not what the Bible says, I want to view things this way. Well, you can do that if you want, but you will stand before God. So Jesus, that's why we're belaboring this point. Jesus was absolutely sinless, but when folks were being baptized, Jesus didn't stay back and say, well, you go on and do that. He identified with us in order to fulfill all righteousness, that is to do the will of his Father. And he was baptized, identifying with us. But something happened at his baptism that's never happened to anybody else. When Jesus came up from the water and was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit, God himself, God the Holy Spirit, appeared in physical form like a dove and came. And not only that, but when the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. This is a beautiful thing. It was not only a general encouragement to Jesus, but it's what alerted and confirmed for John that Jesus is indeed the promised Messiah, that he is indeed the one who will do what only Jesus could do.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the Son, catch the next phrase, he was the Son, so it was thought, of Joseph. Was he the son of Joseph? Legally, yes. Socially, yes. Biologically, no. He was thought to be the son of Joseph. In reality, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, etc. Who are all these people and why does it matter at all? Well, Matthew gives us Joseph's line. Luke gives us the line of Mary. Joseph's line, as Matthew lays it out, contains some remarkable things. Because in addition to being the royal line, the legal royal line, which through Joseph makes Jesus royalty. But Matthew points out a number of glaring examples of sin and embarrassing features along the way. Now, all the people in every genealogy are sinners, no matter who they are. But as I said, he includes some people who most folks would rather not highlight in their ancestry. It was generally not done to mention the women in the ancestral line. Matthew mentions just a few women. And the ones he mentions are all kind of an embarrassment. He mentions Tamar. Tamar, who's posing as a prostitute, enabled her to conceive with her father-in-law, Judah. And out of that, the royal line continues. Well, that sounds bad. It was. But God worked even through that. And then, of course, there's Rahab, who was a prostitute and a pagan. But she became a follower of God and one of his people. And she became part of the royal line. And then he mentions Bathsheba. Before he does that, he mentions Ruth, who is a Moabitess. I mean, those are the people he picks out. Why would he do that? Because that line, though it was royal, was broken. It was a bunch of sinners who needed a Messiah who wouldn't just come in as a military hero, but as one who saves us from our sins. And so Matthew gives this royal line coming through Joseph. Luke, instead of starting back at the early stages and going forward, Luke starts right here and goes back through Mary. And there's a difference between from David forward in both these two. If you look at Matthew and you look at Luke, I don't understand why we're going through different lines here. Well, there's an answer. You see, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22, beginning in verse 28, God says, "Is this man Jehoiakim a despised, broken pot, an object no one wants? Why will he and his children be hurled out, cast into a land they do not know? Oh, land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Record this man as childless, a man who will not prosper in his lifetime, and none of his offspring will prosper. None will sit on the throne of David or rule any more in Judah." A curse was put on this line by God, and God said, instead of his descendants being the heirs to the throne, there will still be a son of David who will rule and reign forever, but it's not going to come through Jehoiakim's line. And so Joseph, who came through that line, legally was of royal blood. But God's curse on that line is such that in God's eyes, those heirs were disqualified. And so, Mary's line, which also goes back to David, Mary's line, not through Solomon, But nevertheless, going back to David, is what is traced here as God provides through the virgin-born Son of God, the Lamb who will take away the sin of the world. Now, the question is not, can you memorize all these names? The question is, do you know the Lamb of God? He has brought salvation as the second Adam. He is the one, when Adam blew it, he is the one who comes fully human, and he is fully God. And he comes and identifies with sinners and takes our guilt on himself and takes our punishment on himself and then conquers the last enemy, which is death. Everything that stood against us, the Bible says, was nailed to that cross. Not part of our guilt, all of our guilt. When Jesus said, it is finished, it's because it is finished. The debt has been paid in full. And you and I are invited to come. Whosoever will may come. God doesn't say, no, I don't want this one and I don't want that one. God says, come. But the universal response of man to God's gracious invitation is that in our natural state, we say, no, leave me alone. I want my own way. I want to be my own boss. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it the way I want to do it. I'll tell you if I need any help, but right now, just leave me alone. That is not what some people say. That's what all of us said. That's the natural human response. Because the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? So, how can anybody be saved? I'm so glad you asked. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is beginning in verse 3. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. How did we get saved? He saved us. Read Titus chapter 3. He saved us. We didn't do something, and as a result, God said, oh, okay, I'll take you. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And God, for the praise of his glory, loved us and made us alive in Christ. To God be all the praise, glory, and honor forever and ever. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.